Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We talked yesterday about infrastructure in this country, but listen to what's happening in London. This week, the London Underground expands its coverage in some parts of the city to 24 hours a day on Fridays and Saturdays, known as the Night Tube. And an even bigger advancement is around the corner, a new rail line that spans the width of the city and beyond, including a direct connection to Heathrow Airport. A section of the Crossrail project is set to open next May, with a longer route working by December 2018. Once in operation, it'll include 26 miles of new tunnels and will be known as the Elizabeth Line, named after Her Majesty. It will serve around 200 million people each year. Howard Smith is the operations director of the Elizabeth Line. He joins us from London. Welcome, and tell us about Crossrail. What's the plan?
Well, the plan is to join up railways either side of London. If you go back historically in London, nearly 150 years ago, the government prevented railways being built across the middle of London. So as some of your listeners will be familiar, in the UK and many European cities, you have to take a big train to the edge of town, and then you get off and you go down onto the underground or the metro. Crossrail is about bridging that gap, if you like, building a railway that runs out from either side of London, east and west, but you stay on the train and it takes you through a tunnel 21 kilometres long right through the heart of London, through Canary Wharf, through the city, through the West End, connecting into places like Heathrow. So that's what Crossrail's about.
And I imagine it would have been a lot easier to build something like this through the centre of London 150 years ago compared to now. How are you able to get this done now with all of the other tunnels that are underground, with all of the buildings that are on the ground?
Well, that's a really good and interesting question. 150 years ago, they wouldn't have known how to build a tunnel that long, that deep under London. But obviously, after that came the tube network. Crossrail is being built across London from east to west. Most of it goes beneath the existing underground lines, but not very far beneath them. So at the closest, at Tottenham Court Road, the Crossrail tunnels are only about 60 centimetres, 2 feet away from the existing Northern Line. So building 21 kilometres of dual-track tunnel through the middle of London, quite a challenge, and one that the engineers have risen to absolutely superbly.
How are you able to do it so quickly? I was in London and I saw a sign on the side of the road that said Crossrail coming, building now 100 meters per week, which is, sounded just unbelievable. And I think about what's happening in New York. There's the Second Avenue subway line is expected to open early next year, but it is one section that is not nearly as long as the Crossrail is, and also it's been going on for years.
Well, Crossrail had quite a long gestation period. There have been plans for Crossrail for decades, but once we got going with construction, once we got the go-ahead, got the funding together, really the speed of the job is about breaking it down into manageable chunks. So the tunnelling was done with 10 tunnel drives, so 8 tunnel boring machines, working pretty well at the same time. It's not one machine making its way the whole way across London. It's about breaking it down, stations being built at the same time, and then obviously when you start laying track, put in power supplies, things like that, that's when the railway gets joined up and comes together as a whole. But basically, breaking the job down is the way to building it in a reasonable period of time.
How does it affect the people who are living above it?
These days, tunnelling is a very, very refined art. Even I remember tunnelling being for people who were the real maths whizzes, who could work out how you made sure that the tunnel ended up in the right place. These days, it's still very clever stuff, let's be clear, but it's done with things like lasers and computers. So actually, the amount of settlement and the amount of deviation you get from the plan is very, very small. So as you'll have hopefully spotted when you were in London, the effects of Crossrail on the surface, where there's not actually a hole, a building site, underground, the tunnelling has been pretty well flawless and almost nobody has been affected.
And is there ever a moment in the course of making something like this that somebody above ground says, I'm going to sue you to stop the construction here because I don't want you to do this right underneath my property? Do you deal with lawsuits?
Not really, because the process for getting big projects built in the UK is generally via what's called a hybrid bill. So you put a bill through Parliament that's backed by government that says this gives you the right to build the railway. Obviously, there are protections for people, there are compensation schemes, but once the government has given the go-ahead to a railway, then you're ready to build. So that's why we've been able to build it pretty quickly, successfully so far, and we look forward to opening it across the centre of London in December 2018, the timescale we've always set.
How much is this going to cost?
The budget for Crossrail, sometimes term it the funding envelope, is around £15 billion sterling.
That's it? The whole thing? That's it,
the whole thing.
Wow. And do you face any pushback from taxpayers, from people who say we shouldn't be spending this money on that, let's spend it on this instead?
Generally in London, Crossrail, future Elizabeth line, we had a visit from the Queen earlier this year and she announced that when we open the tunnel it will be called the Elizabeth line, so that's how we'd refer to it in the future. Generally speaking, it's very, very popular. People appreciate the fact it'll give you a better, quicker journey. They appreciate the fact that it'll actually add capacity to the centre of London, because again, for anybody who's visited London, you'll be aware that the tube network is quite full, and actually additional capacity through the centre of London is very welcome. And also, many people appreciate the fact that it adds to property values. Hmm. So where you're living in the suburbs now, if you have a Crossrail station near you, you may well see an appreciation in property values. Certainly in the centre of town, commercial developers have seen substantial benefits and they have to pay something out of that towards the new line.
And I have to ask this question for our listeners who probably, if they're going to London, they're going to need to know this part of it. How long will it take to get from Heathrow to the centre of London?
About half an hour, depending on where you're going. It'll take about 22 minutes from Heathrow into Paddington, so to the west of London. And then depending on where you're going on to, as I say, about half an hour, plus or minus 5 minutes, depending on where you're actually heading for in the centre of London. So very quick. And obviously at the centre of town, Crossrail will be running at up to 24 trains an hour in the peak. So that's a train every 2.5 minutes.
And these trains will look somewhat different than the trains that we would ordinarily ride on the tube right now.
Trains will be bigger because Crossrail is essentially a full-size national rail, heavy rail as you might call it, railway brought underground. So it'll draw power from an overhead wire, as opposed to from the third rail system. The trains will be in very, very long. They'll be about twice as long as a current tube train. They'll be 200 metres long. You can fit about 1,500 people or possibly a few more into one of those trains. So a very different train. Air conditioning. Some of London's lines already have air conditioning, but Crossrail will be an enormous boost to that. Stations will be accessible from street to platform, so there'll be lifts for people who need assistance, don't find it easy to use things like stairs and escalators. So big benefit in terms of passenger movement in London.
What has been the biggest challenge for you in making this happen?
I think if we look at the project as a whole, you could probably say there's three levels of challenge. The first challenge is actually to get the project away. I've been involved for over 10 years now, and actually getting to the point where government gives you the powers and gives you the permission and the funding to build the project, that in itself is quite a challenge. Then there's the challenges that have been faced, hundreds, thousands of them, by engineers to actually build the line, and that's what we're getting on with at the moment. And then once you actually finish the line, as operations director, I've got another challenge coming up because I've got to make it work from end to end. So running off an existing railway into a tunnel through the middle of London and out of the other side. So that in a project this big, there's a whole series of challenges, both geographically and also in terms of time.
One more thing I want to ask you, Howard Smith, and I promise I won't tell anybody what you say in the answer, but how do you think that the London Tube and your underground and your overground compare to the system in New York?
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't possibly tell you that even in private. What I would say is that I enjoyed enormously traveling around on the New York system. I mean, I'm very, very proud of London, proud of the system that we've got at the moment, proud of what Crossrail's and Elizabeth Line's going to be. I was also here during the Games, the 2012 Games in London, which was probably, you know, one of our finest hours here. Over in New York, I've seen huge improvements. I'm old enough to have been to New York in the 1980s when the system perhaps wasn't so shiny. And actually, when I spent a week in New York recently, we just travelled around from end to end by subway with the family. And it was great. And it works.
That's Howard Smith, who is the operations director of the Elizabeth Line, which is set to open in 2018 in London. Howard, thank you.
Thank you.
Please remember to keep all your personal belongings with you at all times. This is a Piccadilly Line service to Heathrow Terminals 1, 2, 3, and 5.
The sounds of London on Here and Now.